You're listening to Midwest Vegan Radio.
We're sharing all our secrets.
We're sharing all of our secrets just for you special listeners.
With your hosts, Dallas.
That sounds so good.
And Ryan.
Pass the noosh. Welcome to Midwest Vegan Radio, episode number 2.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Ryan. Elliot's over there.
Hello.
And today, our primary topic is going to be navigating holidays, primarily Easter, since Easter's around the corner, with omnivore families, in-laws, friends, and the challenges that you may find in those situations, and what we have kind of personally been through with that.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff around families and holidays and food, because it's such a traditional thing. And so a lot of families can become threatened when somebody breaks that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, I think they think it feels like you're not part of the clan anymore or something.
Yeah.
Or like they take it personally and they get offended, which I, yeah.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, it's all a process and it does take time even for your family members. But my mom was commenting on something the other day, and she said, you know, she doesn't understand why people give vegans such a hard time and all that. And I was like, well, you actually did that yourself. Like, you had a lot of problems when I first went vegan. And she's like, well, it just took time, you know? I just needed to understand things. And so I think there's hope that people do come around.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a long time, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But
and remember, these are people who have known you for a long time, probably mm-hmm. most of them your whole life.
Yeah.
So their ideas about who you are set. And when you come at them and you have a different set of values or identity or behavior, then oftentimes they have a hard time, like they don't really believe that. They think, oh, maybe it's a phase or mm-hmm. she's just trying to be difficult or get attention or...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't necessarily understand how serious and, I mean, what a big deal it can be.
Right.
So that when somebody is not willing to give that up, that can be hard. And of course, it can be really hard for somebody who has gone vegan, especially for ethical reasons, because obviously, like, you're already dealing with knowing about so much violence that you had previously not known about. And I know for a lot of people who go vegan after learning about what animals endure in our world, it's just a kind of a no-brainer thing for them, a lot of people. And they think, well, if only other people knew about this, then they would change.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a real shock to see that some people can know about it and they don't change.
Right.
But then again, there are some people who were on that side of the fence and then became vegan. And those are usually the ones who... have a little bit of an easier time of the mm-hmm. whole thing. I was not one of them. I was definitely an overnight convert.
Yep.
Really extreme. And
yeah.
And I just thought, well, my family's really caring and they like animals and they wouldn't want to do anything that was this horrible. So as soon as they know, they'll change too. That was pretty naive. I was 15. But yeah, so that's kind of at the root of it, I think.
But time has passed and they are... respectful and accepting.
Oh yeah. So I've been vegan 15 years now. So they know the drill. My sister is vegan now. And my mom, is super, super accommodating and supportive. But that doesn't always happen. So, I mean, like when I go to a family event, it's unusual for there to be something that isn't vegan. Like they point out the dishes that are not rather than the ones that are,
mm-hmm.
Because it's just easier to say, don't eat what's in that crock pot. And the rest of it is fine, right. As opposed to, here's your special bowl of potatoes.
Right.
Which, so I'm lucky that way. My husband's family is not that way at all. Like, we go to his family events, and essentially somebody will have bought, like, an Amy's frozen dinner for each of us, and we are supposed to put them in their microwave and... You know, that's like our holiday meal.
That's so insulting. So,
well, you know, I had tried in the beginning to bring vegan food and like encourage people to give it a try, but they weren't really interested in that. And a lot of them thought it was, I don't know, nobody touched it. So I just kind of gave up and decided, okay, well, they're clearly not interested in this. And my husband's been vegan probably 12 years now. So they've clearly had a lot of opportunity to ask and learn if they wanted to. And they obviously really don't. So yeah. I don't really push it. But that's why we don't attend a whole lot of big family events, because it's just not really, it's not really fun.
Yeah. I have kind of the opposite experience. My husband's family is more willing to make and do things, but they do this kind of funny thing where we'll go to an event and they'll make two sets of something. So they'll make two bowls of potatoes. You know, they'll make one with Earth Balance and with soy milk, and the other one with regular milk and cow's butter. Like, why wouldn't you just, like,
just make
what's
the whole
wrong
thing
with
vegan?
The just one?
Like, I wonder if they've ever tasted the vegan version.
Well, they have, but it's just, for whatever reason, they feel like they, like, it's not the same, or it's not.
Well, it isn't the same. It's better.
Well, so. I concur, but.
Yeah, no, you know, I get just, it. I get it.
And so they make a lot of duplicates of things, which I think is kind of goofy, but at least they make something. And yeah. Not that my parents wouldn't, you know, when we travel, it's just the damn holidays, but when we travel with them, they bring up a ton of food and they go grocery shopping ahead of time and ask, you know, she'll call me from Costco or whatever and say, oh, this is, I'm reading the ingredients and this is vegan, so I'm going to get this for you. And they're so accommodating, but when it comes to the stupid holidays where you've got an animal as the centerpiece for food, it's just like they won't bend on that. And I went rounds with my mother the first year I was vegan. You know, it feels, I can't really understand this side of it. It feels like they're choosing a dead animal over me, is what it feels like. And I said that, and they just won't budge on it. And I said, you will never see me at a holiday where there's a dead bird on the table or a dead pig on the table. You'll never, ever see me there. It just won't happen. But it's kind of weird because I will go to my husband's family's events and they don't have a carcass in the middle of the table, but I know it's there. It's, you know, but it's less kind of a formal occasion. It's people are coming and going and there's kind of just a lot of different food, but there's not really a sit down and
it's not a whole ceremony
presentation of this dead creature.
Yeah.
Not that there isn't. I mean, obviously there's potatoes with butter in them.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, I mean, it's like this perverted ceremony that's happening that it just is, it's so incredibly hard to sit through that. Mm-hmm. And I think different people, different families kind of react to it differently. Like some families will make an even bigger deal out of cutting up the animal or, you know, crack jokes and things. And I feel so... My heart just goes out to people who sit, you know, whose families are that mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, my family, early on, I mean, we've had a lot of chances to figure Thanksgiving out. I grew up Jewish, so we don't really do Easter, but, we tried like having I tried just going and sitting through the regular traditional meal where the, you know, turkey was on the table and they cut her up and, you know, pass out pieces of her, and for at least 2 years, maybe three, I dissolved into tears and left the table, just sobbed in the other room, which nobody liked at all, so that wasn't good. Then what they tried doing was cutting up the animal outside of my view, and so, you know, essentially just disguising the fact that this is somebody on a plate, which, you know... Actually, it's true. Like, you are more distanced from who that being was, the more fragmented they become, you know, which is why people can go and get chicken nuggets in a cardboard box and eat someone for a snack and not think about it. So that did help a little bit, but I didn't like it, especially when there's, like, passing of food around the table and you're all sitting there and, you know, you're expected to hang on to a plate of something gross, like Swedish meatballs or, you know, just something incredibly offensive and repulsive to you. And you're expected to like pass it, hold it, pass it to somebody, offer it. Like there's this whole, it's just perverted. Like, that's the only word that I can come up with. And not something that I can stuff down or ignore or deal with. Especially, again, when there's kids involved. And, you know, watching children eat animals before they even know what it is that they're doing. You know, having people make these decisions for children. It's just, I don't know, it's something that causes more pain for me than they get out of having me there, especially when I'm so upset, you know, so it's just better for me to opt out of the whole thing.
I feel like because I will, and my family is very respectful, albeit that they continue to have dead animals as their centerpieces, and so I don't go, but I'm, for those of you that know me, I'm extremely vocal, and I don't have a problem saying exactly what I'm thinking to my family or to their friends or whatever. And I feel like until such a time that they choose not to make a dead animal the centerpiece of a holiday, my absence actually says more than me being there yelling at people.
Mm.
Like, they will never again share a Thanksgiving with me. And family is important to everybody. I'm, not everybody, but, you know, yeah. A lot of people. I mean, family is more important to my parents than it is to me, but it's important for them to have their family around them, and they will never again have a Thanksgiving, an Easter, you know, depends on the holiday, with their only daughter and her husband, so long as there's going to be a dead animal as a centerpiece of the meal. It just won't happen. And I wonder, you know, if we ever do decide to have children, if that will change, if my parents will, you know, because they obviously want grandchildren, and I don't know if they're going to get them yet, but I think, you know, that might be leverage.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
No, I like.
But I feel like my absence speaks louder than I can.
Yeah. And I get that. And then I have a friend, good friend, who she says, I don't want to say that she's not as sensitive as me, but she says that she wants the people in her life to know that she loves them for who they are, regardless, you know, even if she disagrees with the choices that they're making, and that, like, she wants them to know that, and that that's more important to her than, you know, withdrawing herself.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, she can be around that and not feel completely traumatized and torn off the side. So I get that, but, you know, I guess it comes down to boundaries, like having healthy boundaries and saying, okay, well, what can I handle? What's good for me? Is this going to make me feel horrible inside? And am I just going to subject myself to, you know, trying to get through some kind of spectacle, you know, what's expected in order to please other people? Or am I going to just say, no, that's not healthy for me. I'm not going to participate. So I guess it really is going to depend on the individual person. But I guess the point is we're acknowledging that holidays can be tricky.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's also frustrating about it is not to sound, you know, kind of like a child having a temper tantrum, but I've offered to make all of the food for holidays in order to not have to deal with that. And it's been declined. So it's not like I'm like stomping my feet, you do what I want you to do and you can't have what you want. And, you know, it's not that I haven't made the effort and tried to get them to, you know, come to my side. I mean, for Pete's sake, you've had how many holidays to, you know, try something different. What's the big deal? I don't know.
Well, yeah, my husband likes to cook we do Thanksgiving at our house now. And, some of my family members came to one vegan Thanksgiving and it was really cool. It was great to have them there. My brother-in-law decided that he just had to have turkey. Like, he has to have it. That's what he's going to do. That may change. I'm not saying that it won't. But, we haven't had a family holiday in a while, at least not a Thanksgiving. And I'm thinking I'm going to be bowing out of Easter as well. Because my husband's side of the family is Christian, so they do that. But it's just too stressful. And, you know, I know that a lot of families get together specifically. I mean, there's food involved in almost everything. I think it'd be kind of neat to try to figure out, be more creative and figure out ways that we can spend time together that isn't food-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't all have to be. There's got to be something we can do.
We could go to a movie.
Be something, yeah, that we
can go on. Oh, no, picnics would be food centered.
Yeah, I know. It's food everywhere.
Chances are that you're not having a dead turkey at a picnic. Although, yeah. No, maybe I suppose lunch meat.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So, yeah, that's holidays. And if you have specific questions or issues or come up, you know, something comes up and you want our opinion.
We've got those.
We have tons of opinions.
Tons and
we love to share them.
I think Elliot even has a couple opinions, probably. Like one or two?
Nope.
No? None?
No.
All right,
opinions.
Perfect.
Not
it's just
game.
Me and you, Dallas.
Oh, well, that's why we like them.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Only on beer.
Okay, so, well, I think we should probably move on then to something really, really important about Easter, and that is don't buy bunnies.
Yeah,
to sum
bunnies.
It up.
Well, there's also eggs, like egg dyeing, too.
Oh, but, yeah. We just, don't do that either.
Yeah, that's not good either. But let's talk about bunnies.
Okay, so we have been in contact with MCRS. Dallas, do you want to tell us what MCRS stands for?
Minnesota Companion Rabbit Society.
Yep.
I had to think about it.
And they are local. And basically...
To the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Which is where we are.
Yeah. Not local to the entire Midwest, I suppose. Local to the Twin Cities, you're right. They are a member-supported, nonprofit volunteer group that focuses on educating and homing rabbits that people have abandoned or turned over because people have misconceptions about what rabbits are in terms of companion animals. And then these stupid movies come out at Easter time like Hop, which anthropomorphizes animals and their relationships with humans. So you've got this talking rabbit, which gets along with humans. And, you know, at no point during this movie, so I've heard, I have not seen it, I don't have children, that they don't discuss, you know, don't buy rabbits or rabbits are a serious commitment. And so
yeah.
We wanted to talk about some of the important points that you should know if you are actually considering adopting a rabbit because they're so, so cute. Rabbits are about a 10-year commitment, which is a really, really long time for an animal that most of the time doesn't really like to be held. they don't really want a whole lot of companionship and holding. Now, that's not to say that none want that. You can certainly socialize them and work with them to become comfortable with you and you will, there are plenty of rabbits that,
yeah.
With the enough work being put into the relationship,
yeah.
Just like, you know, like toilet training your dog or litter box training a cat, like, you've got to put the work in to socialize this being that you're taking into your home if you want that kind of relationship. If you just want to, you know, have a home for a rabbit, if you just want to provide a home for a rabbit that needs to be adopted, that's...
And even that is quite
but...
a commitment, too,
mm-hmm.
Just in terms of rabbit-proofing your house. But the other thing, too, that's important to mention is rabbits are not like dogs and they're not like cats.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of companion, they're prey animals.
Yep.
These are animals that get eaten in the wild. And so they are extremely skittish a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
And they scare easily. They have delicate constitutions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you've got to have a high degree of sensitivity for seeing the world through their eyes,
yep.
And being willing to accommodate their needs because they don't adapt. You know, I mean, they're not wired. They cannot be wired to kind of chill out.
Right.
they can be comfortable, but they can also snap out of it and take off and panic easily,
right.
Which is so they can survive.
I volunteered for a while with a group that dealt with rescued animals and I worked with the squirrels specifically, but I wanted to feed the bunnies so badly, the baby bunnies. And you just had to have so much training to be able to do that because the little bunnies would get so scared they would have heart attacks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You actually had to put a tube down their throat to feed them. They're just, I don't think we can emphasize enough how sensitive and how scared they can get.
So you've got to be willing to educate yourself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you should never just kind of bring an animal home on impulse. I mean, unless they're dying and you need to intervene or, you know,
right.
They need a safe place to go for quickly. But you know, this is not a kind of commitment that you want to just rush into or make on the basis that you saw a movie or you think it will be fun for the kids for a little bit.
And when you decide that it's not fun anymore and you think, well, this isn't a cat or dog, this is like a wild animal, so I can just let it go. It's dead. It's as good as dead.
Yeah.
Because he or she is as good as dead.
Yeah. So some other things to think about with rabbits, they nip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of the deal. They're going to nip. So be aware of that. They also love to chew. They love to chew.
Yep.
My mom had a couple of rabbits that she had for several years, and they really had a thing for the bindings of books. The older the books, the better. And they really preferred dictionaries to anything.
Of course, because bunnies are smart.
Yes.
That sounds really cute to me, actually. I was like, if I had a bunny and he or she had chewed up all of the cords to like my television or whatever, I'd be like, that's so cute. Chewing, chewing, chewing.
Yep. Cords, and my mom had a screened-in porch, and they loved to chew on the all of the wooden furniture. The boards of the porch were all kind of sanded, it looked like, because the rabbits had chewed them. They also have a special diet that they need, and you need to make sure that you give them enough greens and enough hay and not too much hay and enough pellets and not too much pellets, and it's... Like, they are a commitment, and you have to learn about them. Not to say that nobody should ever do this, but right. If you are curious, contact a local rabbit rescue and ask questions. Look at their website. They should have a ton of information.
Not to omit this information, rabbits, you've heard the term, you know, like, breeding like rabbits. Yeah. They breed like rabbits, and they need to be spayed and neutered, just like a cat or dog would. And that's... expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be over $200 to spay or neuter a rabbit. So, you know, something else to consider. You can't just go get a rabbit because it's cute and they've got them at Petco. And like,
they also need things like their teeth clipped,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting if they don't get to chew enough or enough of the right things. Stuff like that, people just don't realize. And they can kick hard. Holy mm-hmm. moly. If you've got a rabbit in your lap and they don't want to be there anymore, those back legs are so powerful. So, yes, just be aware. Help people in your lives learn that this isn't a good idea. Also, please don't go to some place and get your kids' pictures taken with live rabbits either. I know it can be tempting, but, again, those animals are just... commodities to make money for a business.
But for a change, we've got a solution rather than just a complaint about that. The MCRS does a lot of different kind of social hour type things. They've got this really, really cute thing called Happy Hour, which they do at different places, but you know, they had one recently at the Golden Valley Humane Society, and then they do one, you know, in South St. Paul. They just do them kind of all over the place. They do like bunny basics classes. But in terms of the happy hour, you don't need to have a rabbit as a companion animal. You can just show up and play with them if they want to be, you know, some of these rabbits have been really well socialized and the rabbits will hop around and they'll just, you know, if you pet them, they're your new best friend. And some of them just kind of stay in the middle and they don't really want to.
Yeah.
But that is great for kids. A lot of kids go to that event, those events, I should say. And you can kind of get your bunny fill without actually adopting a rabbit and then ending up letting it go because it was way more than you thought it was going to be, or putting it back into, or moving it into a foster situation where there's already too many of them. Or you could volunteer with an organization like this. They have different stuff that they always need people to do. There's not so much of a happy hour. You can definitely... you know, get hooked up with them, and we will provide information about the Minnesota Companion Rabbit Society and who to contact if you're interested in volunteering. They have all sorts of different levels of volunteering. If you want to, you know, if it's like a once a week commitment, down as much or as serious as fostering, you know, so they, you know, you could do it as frequently or as infrequently, but that would be something great to bring children to and, you know, to help teach them
about. And I bet rabbit groups in other cities have this kind of thing too, I'm sure.
Sure. Yep.
So if you know of one in your area, post it on our blog and let other people know.
Yep.
So yes, rabbits. And rabbits too, just, I think they're a great poster child for animal rights because they are used for everything, which is so sad. But, you know, these rabbits and pet stores, they're bred in bunny mills. There are bunny mills just like there are puppy mills and kitten mills. They are used for meat. They are used in the fur industry. They are used as test subjects
for research
mm-hmm. and, you know, product testing. You know, the companion animal issue in terms of homelessness and abuse that happens. The animals and entertainment sort of thing with being used as props mm-hmm. for photo sessions. I mean, it's just amazing how many different ways rabbits are abused. And they're not really counted that way often because it's just they're a small percentage of each of those various categories, I guess. But overall, lots and lots of rabbits are mistreated and
they're not protected by any groups, and they are considered poultry, I believe. Is that correct?
Poultry? In terms of slaughter standards mm-hmm. and things. Yep. So one idea, if you're not going to do a vegan chocolate bunny or a stuffed bunny in an Easter basket, is virtually adopting a rabbit, mm-hmm. which
Dallas,
we have done.
Dallas adopted for a wedding present for my husband and I recently. She adopted a bunny from the South Carolina Rabbit Sanctuary, and they sent us a lot of really good information, and they invite us out there all the time. Obviously, we're not in South Carolina, so when they invite us to picnics, that's kind of funny because we're not really, you know, going to go there yet. But they sent a super, super, super cute picture. We should take a picture of this picture, or we could probably
link to
my rabbit, Eddie, that Dallas and her husband had adopted for a wedding present for us, which was so cute. And, you know, they need money, and they need, you know, these animals need money for veterinary costs and for food. And
they're rabbitats. Isn't that cute?
That's so cute.
They keep them in rabbitats because of their special, you know, they need burrowing spaces and hiding places and special hay, and they have special friends that they like and rabbits they don't like. So the staff there keeps a close eye on all of that, and they are really serious about taking good care of these animals. So if you want to do a good deed and explain to your little one the importance of being nice to bunnies, mm-hmm. that's a great way to do it.
Yep.
So we can put the link to that on our blog too.
Definitely.
Because they're great. And so is Eddie.
Eddie is so cute. So cute. Don't you think, Elliot?
Yes.
So cute. Insanely
cute.
Hey, you had an opinion.
Excellent work.
Forced it out of me.
So do we want to review this awesome product first, or we want to talk about our green gel?
No, the product. I really want to eat the sandwich.
So we're getting really hungry because somebody was nice enough to donate some product to us. Her name is Katie, and she owns a company called Bee Free Honey. And
you want to spell honey?
It's H-O-N-E-E. So, like, you know, it's Bee Free Honey, but two E's. Good point.
Yep.
So she had contacted us and wanting us to know about her product. And they're local. They use only local products for their apples. It's honey made out of apples. Basically, it's 80% apples. There's only three ingredients, so it's apples, lemon...
And sugar. Enough sugar to attain the right consistency and sweetness, I think.
And I think the lemon is used for a preservative. So they get their apples locally. The product package is local. And she's got some kind of good information. I'm just going to read this really quickly.
And completely recyclable.
Yep, completely recyclable. So the reason why she started to get involved with this, according to the information she's provided us, is because of the CCD, which you guys may have heard of, the colony collapse disorder, that their scientists are estimating that bees are going to be extinct in the U.S. by 2035. And if you don't already know this, every plant needs bees to grow, or they don't grow. They don't, you know, pollinization. So you can't really have fruit
Yeah.
And flowers.
If bees go, we're so screwed.
Yeah.
So screwed.
So this is really cool that she's, you know, trying to make this bee-free honey. Something also that's really interesting for those of you with young children is that this honey is safe for children under 2. I don't really know a whole lot about botulism, but apparently there is no fear of botulism in this bee-free honey.
That's good.
What's botulism? Do you know?
It sounds bad to me.
Elliot,
I don't know what it is.
Nothing?
No.
Look at us unprepared. Okay, well, no botulism. Good stuff. Okay.
We haven't had to worry about it because we're not under 2 eating honey, apparently.
Right. So, and it's safe for those allergic to traditional honey as well as being natural and vegan. And all of her packaging is purchased from Twin City Companies. She admits that Midwest apples is not the least expensive route, but it's, you know, she's made this commitment because she's trying to build a local company. Yep. And she sees it more of an investment than a cost.
It's very cool.
Yeah, putting money back in the Midwest. So, and she does ultimately want to be able to donate a share of the profits to charities.
Cool.
Presumably charities that would help bees.
Help bees, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Good
yeah,
stuff.
It's just the whole honey thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is for our giveaway, because we're going to be giving away.
Two of these. Two containers of it. She
yep,
is so
they're
12 generous.
12-ounce bottles of the bee-free honey. And we want to give them away. And the incentive, the contest, is about you email us.
MidwestVeganRadio@gmail.com.
Yep. MidwestVeganRadio@gmail.com. Email us with your snappiest, cleverest one-liner or two-liners about why vegans don't eat honey or shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because lots of, you know, there's a whole argument about that, which we're not going to get into, but...
That's not the point.
That's not the point.
But I think that it is important to say, and one of my favorite people in the world, Colleen Patrick Goudreau, says this. So if you know me, you've probably heard her say this because I talk about her all the time, that why she doesn't eat honey, because honey isn't made for her. Bees make honey for their own... For themselves, for their food, for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Honey's not made for us. Is it vegan? Well, it's not for us. It's not a matter of,
yeah.
You know, I don't know a whole lot about honey production. I know that they fume them and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, so but, different places. You know, they tear the wings off the queen so she mm-hmm. can't leave, and you know, smoke them at the end of the season and just kill the whole crop and. You know, but the bottom line is even quote-unquote humane honey, again, you're going in and you're taking away their life's work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just mean.
It's not for you. They didn't make it for you.
Yeah.
Let them have their honey.
So.
And I'm, like, munching to town here on my peanut butter and bee-free honey sandwich. It's good stuff. And I really like, the honey definitely has an apple flavor. Obviously, it's made from apples, but I think it's sweet and delicious.
Mm.
I've been using it in tea. Kind of disgusting, but if for those of you that know me and my dietary habits, I've just been squirting it in my mouth, like just just kind of drinking it more or less. But you guys all know that I'm just kind of crazy with my eating habits and
yeah,
junk
that's
food,
not
so.
Surprising. Yeah. But that's a good endorsement.
Elliot, come eat some.
Okay.
yeah, it's super good. So mm-hmm. I guess would you recommend making peanut butter and bee-free honey sandwiches like we just enjoyed? Yes, they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that
honey a lot.
This is like I really like the product just like honey, which is slightly less sweet, I think, and this is a little bit thinner and sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Like and I like how the peanut butter kind of cuts that down.
But you also don't really consume a lot of sugar and you don't consume caffeine and
maybe I'm like just
Sensitivity to sweetness is probably a lot different than mine.
Oh, yeah.
My threshold of sweetness tolerance is like, I could dump a bag of sugar in my mouth and just be like, la, la, la.
Yes.
In fact, I had a 5-hour energy thing like recently and it didn't do anything for me. So I don't know if that's bad or good. Probably bad. But that's not the point. The point is, buy bee-free honey. It's yummy.
Mm-hmm. And email us,
and you could win one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So thank you
mm-hmm.
to, what was her name?
Her name is?
Jenny Katie.
No, Katie Sanchez.
Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Katie.
Yep. And we will put I'm sorry, I have a mouthful of food. This is kind of hysterical. We'll put her contact information, and you can find this. It's not difficult to find there at Whole Foods. Dallas was just at a co-op this morning, and she found it there without looking. It was, yep. She just happened to come across it. So it's not difficult to find this stuff. You don't
she's
need to go
a,
on a...
Yeah, she's doing a great job marketing really well. So, yeah, we like it. Thank you. Okay. Are we on?
We're on.
Oh.
A green challenge.
It's time for the green challenge.
Green challenge.
Green challenge.
There's no gloves. There's no swords.
No white suits.
Uh-uh. It's just green challenge.
You're just doing the earth a solid. I love this part. This is one of my favorite parts.
We have a challenge for you guys.
Yep. So, the challenge is, what is it? It's about tote bags, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about using reusable tote bags.
Yep.
Which, seriously, if you don't have an abundance of reusable tote bags sitting around, where have you been the last 10 years? Because you can't even give these things away anymore.
I have a garbage bin full of them. They just, and it, you know, and I grab a couple or whenever I'm going to the grocery store.
Nobody wants them anymore. I'm amazed. Like, I was at the post office and they're trying to sell reusable post office bags. Like, who's going to buy? Who's going to spend, you know, $5 on a post office bag? But so you get them everywhere. They've been giveaways for eons. Environmental groups have been giving them away as member appreciation things and public radio and, I mean, all over the place. So, reusable bags, we like them. But the thing is, a lot of people don't think to use them in places other than the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, we would like to see pictures of you using your tote bag in the most creative place whenever you're shopping.
Yeah.
Just ask the cashier
at the post
or something.
Office.
Yes, maybe at the post if you're buying that many stamps.
you've got a whole bunch of letters you're bringing in.
Yep. I've done that when I'm mailing out t-shirts and stuff.
I have the best tote bag ever that my friend gave me for, I don't know if it was a birthday or what. I think it was a birthday present. Anyway, how would you even say that? Iota tote?
Iota tote.
It is so beautiful. I get comments on it everywhere, but it's huge.
Yeah.
Which is great.
They have a website on there.
Yep. It's every iota, everyiota.com. And this bag is so cute. It's totes my favesies. So that's my favorite tote. And I use it. I mean, it's huge, but I use it for lunch, for work. So
to carry your bag of sugar.
Mm-hmm. My bag of sugar and all my junk food.
Yeah, I just have started keeping them in the car, and I keep one in my purse.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to get better at whipping out the tote bag before the cashier starts putting merchandise in a different bag.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a bummer. But, yes, so thinking about other places you can use a tote bag that isn't just the grocery store.
And there's no reason why you couldn't throw a couple of them in your trunk or your glove box.
Yep.
They fold up. They're small.
So
there's no reason to not have one on you.
We want to see you use your tote bag in a creative way, you know, in a place that isn't the grocery store. Because that's, everybody knows about that. And if you're not doing that, then you
really, really ought to
get with the times.
So. Although sometimes, I will say, from time to time, I will, at Whole Foods, get the paper bag so that I have something to put my recycling in.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
As well. Like,
but the paper bag is recyclable, right?
Yeah, I mean. Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
We also take bags from other people in our lives who have no interest in using tote bags, like they're just not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having them just toss bags, we ask them, send them over to us and we will reuse them. So we do that. Like when we take the dogs on a walk, we'll use them to pick up poop or we'll, you know, scoop cat litter or whatever.
Yep.
So.
Don't use your reusable bag for that.
No, not a good idea.
No.
No.
But there's no shortage of plastic bags available for you to
yeah, unfortunately.
Get from people.
That would be a really awesome problem to have. But, so yes, we want to see you and your tote bag.
Send us a picture.
Yep.
And there could be something in it for you. Just saying.
There probably is.
Just saying. Not going to say what. I'm just saying.
If I know, Ryan, there's something.
There might be something in it for you. So just play along.
Yep, do it.
Bear with me. Send us pictures. Yep. We'll post them.
Yeah, just know that whatever you send us, we get to do what we want with it, pretty much.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll create like a fake Facebook profile around your picture that you send to us. And... No?
Probably not. I think we have better things to do.
This is true.
What's next after the Green Challenge?
Events.
Okay, events. Let's talk about this. So last time we talked, I wasn't sure about the Whole Foods extravaganza event and the time on that. Got that clarified. It's April 18th. That's a Monday night, 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And this is at the Whole Foods by Lake Calhoun on the west side of Lake Calhoun. There's only one Whole Foods around the lake, but just as long as I'm giving details. And so the extravaganza event is going to be awesome. There will be cooking demos. There will be food tasting, sampling of different vegan foods. Ryan and I will be there, and we'll answer any questions you have about veganism.
Not just What were you thinking people were going to ask you?
I don't know, but I just needed to quantify it. You never know. There's some smartass out there who would show up and ask something inappropriate.
Yeah.
So we're cutting that off at the pass. So
we'll answer appropriate veganish related questions.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So extravaganza, we really hope you can make it. Bring a friend.
Free food. Come on.
Yeah, really. And do your grocery shopping.
Free food that someone else made for you. Yeah. That's the best kind of food there is.
I know. Okay. And then later on, and this is actually on Easter, so if you're looking to pick up something to bring or, you know, to a gathering, or you need to decompress after having been at a gathering, or you are not going to a gathering and you want to hang out with cool people like us, then come to the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, Minneapolis style. Twin Cities style, really, I guess. So Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale is worldwide. And this was started by a guy named Gary. And he just had this idea that wouldn't it be cool if people spread the vegan love with vegan baked goods and raised money for their favorite animal causes. So we are all about it, and we're going to be doing that.
Didn't last year, though, we donate the money for to, like, Haiti or something? It wasn't just animal stuff?
Yes.
Or was it specific
Was it specific
to animals in Haiti that were needing to be rescued, or?
Oh. We did a couple bake sales around the same time. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, we did do a fundraiser for Haiti. But I think the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale was different. I'm pretty sure. But they were so close, and they were both fun. So, you know. Yeah. So this is going to be at Ethique Nouveau, which is at 317 West 48th Street in Minneapolis. And we hope you'll come. And there will be other vegan bake sales. Actually, maybe we should try to find out where other ones are in the Midwest and put them on our blog.
That would be fun.
So that other people can know. Ooh, wouldn't it be cool if we had like a little friendly rivalry? Figure out which city could raise the most.
I like it.
Yep. Also, Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale is likely, very, very likely to be featured on CNN as well. So people who want to get their baked goods on national television, they have a chance. They've got a shot at it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And you can, you know, talk to your local vegan bake sale person about that. Let's see. Then we've got, a big party happening. So there's actually a couple different things going on April 30th. That's a Saturday. There's a bunch of things going on. In the morning, there's the No Kill Walk for Animals, which is a Minnesota-wide thing. No Kill Walk for Animals, it's a fundraiser for all of the no-kill shelters. It's essentially held during the same time as the largest animal shelter in our whole region that has a very high kill rate. So people who don't want to participate in that have an option to participate in supporting the smaller, poorer, needier no-kill rescues. And so that's going to be in St. Paul in the Como Pavilion over there. There's a Facebook page for it, so you can search on Facebook about that. And if you want to walk, that'd be great. Animals are welcome. There's going to be tables and people. And
I'll be tabling.
Yep. Ryan will be there. I'll be there. I'm actually the spokesperson for this thing. So I'll be there with a balloon tied to me somehow so that media can find me, I guess. That's what they told me I need to do. So, yeah, if you want to find me, look for a balloon.
No, wait, that's a kid.
Yeah, really. So I'll have to have a unique balloon. So the no-kill walk is in the morning. It starts at 9 a.m. in St. Paul. Then at 1 p.m., you can come over for a party, vegan style. There will be, it's the Animal Rights Coalition 30th anniversary party, and there will be free food there. Appetizers done by Rhymes with Vegan host, Megan Holtgroup.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be having some food there.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, she does good stuff. So come on over to that in South Minneapolis at Athique Nouveau. And, oh, the other thing that's pretty cool, too, that same day, and I'm not sure on the time of this yet, but there's going to be a vegan spring egg hunt for kids.
Cute!
So, I know.
Vegkins?
Yeah, Vegkins event. Yep. So anybody who, this Vegkins is a group for people who are raising vegan and vegetarian kids, looking at doing that. So we're going to have the little plastic eggs with treats and stickers and things inside of them, and we're going to do that on the 30th as well. In that same area. So if you're curious about that one, you can go to Facebook and check out Vegkins, V-E-G-K-I-N-S, if you're local.
I kind of want to go to that.
I know. It's going to be so cute. I can't wait to see the pictures. I don't know. I suppose you could crash it, but I don't think you can
run around. I want little eggs with treats in them.
I'll keep that in mind. So, and again, eggs, go for not chicken eggs or, you know, animal eggs, I guess I should say. Please don't buy those and dye them. That's not good.
There's got to be something better you could do.
You could
sticker up.
Yeah.
Those ones, like, and you can put treats in them. Reusable.
Yeah, the reusable ones are good. I don't know. I'm sure that there's a ton. I bet United Poultry Concerns would have ideas. UPCOnline.org.
Hmm.
Because obviously, that's kind of up their alley. Yeah. So I bet UPC would know.
They're not ours. They're not our eggs.
They're not ours.
They're the menstruation of somebody else. So just...
I don't even want that.
Leave it to them.
Yeah.
Let chickens have their menstruation and they can do with that what they need to.
Yep.
It's not for us.
Exactly. So is that it?
That's it. That's all we have to talk about today.
Cool.
All right.
So we want to see your pictures.
We want to see your pictures.
We want to know your snappiest, cleverest...
Why you don't eat honey?
Yeah.
Why not?
Or it doesn't even have to be snappy and clever. I guess it can just be downright good.
Yes.
So we'll be judging kind of on our own merits. But we don't want to see a whole paragraph.
No, no.
And
don't
we don't want like something that has citations in it.
No.
And, you know, tons of statistics. That's not what we want. We want something
simple. Use your wit.
Yep. Simple, memorable, to the point, true. And
bee-free honey is already taken, so... You have to come up with something on your own.
Yep, something.
But
else.
You could bake with us honey, and you can do all sorts of, put it on bread, put it in tea, just everything that you would normally do with honey. You
baklava.
Can...
Baklava.
Baklava. Yeah. I don't know how you say it.
Okay.
Yay. All right. Well, this is Midwest Vegan Radio signing off.
Bye.
Bye.